That is a powerful song. And it was sang very powerfully. Is it well with our soul? Thank you, Steve. Church, it's great to see you. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. We are certainly thankful that we are living in a time when we can come together and be a part of the kingdom of God. We do recognize it is the summertime. We do recognize that there are those on vacation. But I am certainly thankful that we're able to be here today. I did make a mention earlier of remembering Joseph Hester. Hester is having knee surgery in the morning. That's all you need to know. Remember her in your prayers. That's where I got confused, was when I read it that way, wasn't it? It's Hester. Sorry. We're going to get that out of our system now and get into this. But, you know, when it comes to being a part of the kingdom of God, it really is a special place. It really is a valuable place. Place to belong to, a valuable place to raise your family, a valuable place to give your life to. And there are certain things that remind us of that from time to time. This morning I taught a class in the fellowship hall. It was my privilege to teach in there and fill in for my buddy Bill, who is obviously got a lot on his heart today. But as I was preparing for that lesson, it reminded me of the value of the kingdom. And then as I was thinking about a sermon series that I wanted to start beginning today, it reminded me that I believe some have an identity crisis. There's come a crossroads in our lives here in 2021. And when I say our, I'm talking about those who do not appreciate the kingdom as they once did, or do not appreciate the kingdom at all. The identity crisis is this. I know I'm supposed to be a part. I know I want to go to heaven. I know I want to make sure that I do not lose my soul. But there are certain things that I want to value more than the kingdom. There are certain things I want to be remembered more. And we may not consciously say this, but there are some that say, there are certainly things I want to be remembered more for than being a great member of the church. The reason, and the way you know that is not a judgment, is because the facts reveal it to be true. For instance, there are those who are chasing the dollar because the dollar has become more valuable than the kingdom. There are those who are chasing hobbies and other interests because that has become who they are and who they identify with. There are those who are chasing some love or something that's out there that may be this myth of peace that only comes from Christ, we know, but they think it comes from some other form, and that's become an issue because there's an identity crisis. What I'm trying to say through all of this is what you have to understand, and this is just the bare brass tacks of getting down to the nuts and bolts and where the rubber meets the road. Is there a lot of people that think they can find fulfillment in themselves, but we cannot ever find fulfillment in ourselves. Because we were created to reflect the glory of God. And since the main goal in seeking an identity outside of Christ is to bring glory to ourselves, we will never find lasting fulfillment apart from Him. There are a lot of people that are trying it, though. There are a lot of people who are trying to figure out that there is fulfillment outside of Christ. There's not. Is there happiness outside of Christ? Sure. That's temporary, though. Are there smiles outside of Christ? Are there things that people get excited about outside of Christ? Yes, to all of those. But all of it is temporal. How do I know this? Well, I believe the Bible to reveal it to be so, and I believe that over the course of the next few weeks, we're going to unfold some things. But I have to look no more than at the life of Solomon. Solomon, you can have anything you want. What do you want? I want wisdom, God. God said, okay. So he gave Solomon all the wisdom. Solomon also received fortune. He also received fame and power. And because of his lack of wisdom, he allowed the fame and fortune and power to cloud his judgment. And so what did he do? He started seeking fulfillment outside of Christ, outside of God in this instance. In fact, when he wrote his biography in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said in the very first of it, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And another version puts it this way, emptiness, emptiness, all is empty. You see, he said, I've tried everything under the sun. I've had love affairs. I've had money. I have had power. I have had fame. All of it left me empty. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is man's all. You see, Solomon went through an identity crisis. But all these years later, we still have folks that are going through identity crisis. So the question is, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? Who am I? That's a question we have to answer. For instance, if I go up and introduce myself to somebody outside of here, you know what they're going to want to know? Hey, what do you do? What do you do for a living? A lot of times we identify with what we do for a living. And not all of that is bad, right? Not all of it's bad. I'm thankful to be the minister of the Azalea City Church of Christ. I'm blessed. I'm thankful. But that's not who I am. You see, I'm a child of God. I'm part of the one that was grafted in. I'm that pearl. I'm that treasure that Jesus gave up all to come save. In Ecclesiastes 4 verse 8, Solomon writes, this is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for? Why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 8, all things are wearisome. More than one can describe. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear content with hearing. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. Romans 6:21, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. When I try to find pleasure, when I try to find joy, when I try to find peace outside of Christ and the church, then I'm left with emptiness. And I'm left with death. In Christ, everything changes. Everything. Instead of being lost, we're now found. Instead of being seen as a sinner before God, you're now seen as a saint before God. Instead of being an enemy, you become a friend. We're loved, we're redeemed, we have been made new, we are forgiven, and we are a treasure to Him. Those are not my words. They're God's words. This is who we are when our identity is in Jesus Christ. Being known by God being known by God, should cause us to constantly look to the one who knows us far better than we know ourselves. You see, to me, that ought to be our goal. It ought to be our goal to know that God knows us. Here's the key now. If I am a part of the church, which is so valuable that I should go and give up everything I have to purchase the field that the treasure's found in, right? We talked about that in Sunday school. Or the merchant who found the pearl that was so valuable that he sold everything he had to obtain that pearl. He didn't see the clam. He saw the pearl. The man didn't see the field. He saw the treasure. What do we see in the church of our Lord? The most important thing we can do today is be known by God. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 3, but whoever loves God is known by God. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ephesians 1, 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. John 15, 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in the name of the Father will give you. Exodus 33, 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. We're not done. 2 Timothy 2, 19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In Galatians 2, 20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Just want to be known by God. We want God to know us. We want our identity to be Christian. I'm thankful we have all kinds here. I'm thankful we have those who are very successful, those that are at the top of their game when it comes to science, those that are very gifted in starting their own businesses, those who are very gifted in the Word and in knowledge and truth. But most of all, I'm so thankful that all of us can use our talents to not identify as anything outside, but to identify as the church of our Lord. Because that's who we are. And that's who we have to be. Maybe the question is this: how do I get God to know me? How do I lose my identity? You know, I showed some superheroes earlier. They always have an alter identity. Right? All those in that scene right there have an alter identity. That's why they didn't make me Superman. I'd have just walked around as Superman all the time. I mean, why would you want to be Clark Kent? Just let everybody know, yes, I am Superman. Why are we hiding today? We've tapped into the greatest power there is. I can't fly and I can't go faster than a bullet and all that stuff, but I can be a representative of Jesus Christ. Why are we hiding it? Why are we trying to cover up that identity? So what do we do? How do we reveal it? How do we let people know that this church, right here, in this community, and here's the beautiful thing about it, our community has arms now, okay? It's got roots that's running. Yes, it's in Sims, but it's in Wilmer, and it's in Westmobile, and it's in Saraland, it's in Satsuma, and I'm sure other places around town. We have taken, and we can broaden our reach. But how do we let people know that this place is the most valuable thing to us? There's a few things that I think Scripture points us out that we need to do. The first one is this. We need to deny self and glorify God. 1 John 2, beginning in 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. If we are not seeking to find our identity in Christ alone, then we are seeking it somewhere else, beginning with ourselves. Our identity, when our identity is in the eternal things of Jesus Christ, we will not be, number one, crushed by our failures and weaknesses. Think about it this way. When Terry does something, there are good chances I'm going to mess up. You know, I enjoy doing some woodworking, and still, I've never built one that's perfect. Even final product, I could show you the flaws in it, okay? It may look pretty good to some folks, but the one who does it, I can name where the mess-ups are. I can name where I had to fix this or had to fix that or, you know, how it goes. Why? Because I'm human and I mess up. And so when I put my fulfillment, my identity in me, then it's going to leave me failed. It's going to leave me miserable. But Jesus Christ has never messed up. And so when I put my identity in Him, I deny self, I put to death self as I'm immersed in Him for the remission of my sins. When I put my old self to death and I live my life to reflect and glorify God, then it's truly then when my identity is in Christ. When I put my identity in the eternal things of Christ, number two, I will not fall into pride from worldly success or despair over disappointments or tragedy. What if my goal in life was to be extremely rich? Now, I am extremely rich. Justin reminded us of that this morning. I have plenty of water in my home. There are millions that do not. I am very rich. But even on the United States of America scale, let's talk about being very rich, having lots of money in the bank. What if I set that as my life ambition and I came up short? Then I feel like a total failure. I feel like everything has just come down and the world is caving in for me. Or what if I accomplished it? And then I sit back and say, look at what I've done. Look at the great things I've done. Well, now I've fallen not from because I didn't meet my goals. I've fallen because I'm too full of myself. You see, we won't get lost seeking the attractive but empty things of the world offers because we're already lost. If our number one goal is seeking the attractive but empty things the world offers, then I'm already lost. But if I put my identity in Christ and I allow Christ to take over my life, it gives us a stable and eternal hope in a world of unstable hopelessness. So the first thing I've got to do is to deny self and to bring glory to God. Number two, when I put my identity in Christ, I don't need to worry about the future. There are a lot of people that are worried about the future. So don't fear the future. You can't think about that. When I put my identity in Christ, when I identify with Jesus Christ as part of His kingdom, as part of His church, as part of His life, then I don't need to be concerned about the future. Romans 8, 14 and 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. He talked about falling back into fear. You see, today, everything we turn on newsworthy, news-wise, wants us living in a state of fear. And we shut the whole place down for a year because of fear. And again, there are people today in our number that are struggling with this. I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm just saying the devil wants nothing more than for us to live in fear. If it's not COVID, it's something else. Be afraid. Be nervous. Don't go out in the streets. There are people shooting people. There are diseases. There are sicknesses. There's this and there's that. And do not go outside your doors, basically, is what the news tells you. Live in fear. If we have peace with God, then we have nothing to fear on this earth. Right? If we have peace with God, then we have nothing to fear on this earth. Our eternities are secure as adopted sons and daughters of Christ. So we don't need to fear financial collapse. We do not need to fear losing our job. We do not need to fear getting sick. We do not need to fear being ridiculed for our faith. Doesn't mean those things aren't easy. Doesn't mean those things aren't painless. If we lost our job, it's going to hurt. If we had financial collapse, it's going to affect us. If we got sick or tragedy struck, yes. But those things, those moments, we understand that if we can get through them, if we have our confidence in our Heavenly Father. When you read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you'll hear God referred to as sovereign. He is sovereign. He is the one who is in control. He is the one who is in charge. And if we allow our Heavenly Father to be the sovereign one of our life, every moment of our life will be equipped for every other thing the world throws at us. God brought us through this evil time by buying us with the blood of His own Son so that we could claim our identity in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We can and should trust that God will provide us with everything else we need in the world. It's either true or it's not, right? Do I trust Him? Do I trust God? Well, this morning, if I do not trust God, if I am living in fear, then maybe I need to question where my identity is. Am I identifying with myself? Or is my identity in Jesus Christ? Thirdly, this morning, when it comes to finding our true identity in Christ, let's don't compare. Let's be complete. Listen to this passage, Romans 14, 5 through 8. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. What a passage. Comparing ourselves to those around us can drain the life right out of us. I don't know. There's never been a contest, to my knowledge. to know who the best preacher in town is. Chances are I won't win that one. But if I sit there and I compare myself to this guy and that guy and this guy, and I've done that, by the way, you know where that left me? Sleepless. It left me worried. It left me, well, I didn't do this way, this person did it and that. You know when I finally hit my stride as a minister? When I started doing it the way I believe God wanted me to do it. And now that's just in my job. What about in yours? I mean, my wife, you know, today I might would win the award, but there are days I'm not going to win the husband of the year. Kids will certainly tell you there are days I won't win father of the year. There are better fathers. There are better husbands. If I sit there trying to compare and compare and compare, you know where I'm going to be left? Drained. You see, we are created with the purpose of glorifying God, but in the unique ways God has created each of us. One person filled with creativity, while another glorifies God with a beautiful voice. I don't know that I have either one of those, but you get the point. You know, when I was a youth minister, I had somebody tell me one time, you are not a very creative youth minister. And I agreed with them. By the way, y'all don't treat Justin that way, okay? I mean, if you've got some, don't say that to him. I mean, I'll trailblaze for you, brother. But my response to him was this. I was kind of proud of myself. I was a young guy. I said, if you mean I can't come up with a game that's going to catch on and be the most popular game on the planet and all the teenagers want to play it, if you're talking about that kind of creativity, you're right. That's not me. But I'll put my heart in loving your children up against anybody's on the planet. You see, those are the kinds of things that we can't allow others to reign on our parade, if you will. If I sit there and try to compare myself to this guy and to that guy and to this guy and to that guy, then I'm going to be left empty. One person glorifies God as a CEO, while another glorifies Him by doing custodial work. One person glorifies God in the way they seek to raise their family, while another glorifies Him in the way they use their singleness to serve Him. We must seek to glorify Christ in the gifts and talents He has uniquely chosen for us. We do not need to get lost in the joy-sucking pursuit of being something God never created us to be. Don't miss out on the blessing of serving Christ where you are with what He's given you. Whatever talent God's given you, own it. Be complete with it. And wherever you are, serve Him the way you know how. Finally, this morning, as I think about who we are, who am I, who are you, it leads me to this last point, that once I have my identity in Christ, struggles come with solutions. Romans 8, 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. If my identity is in Jesus Christ, and your identity is in Jesus Christ, I'd love to tell you that we will never suffer again. But we're wise enough and in tuned enough to know that that's not reality. But here's one thing I can tell you. That through Jesus Christ, those sufferings come with solutions. Just as Christ's sufferings were not hopeless and wasted, neither will be ours. Christ's sufferings defeated sin, and it defeated death. And therefore, we identify with Him as He uses suffering to put sin to death in us, to make us reflect more of Him. Not only does suffering sanctify us, but it assures us that after suffering with Him, for a while, we will one day be glorified with Him. When our identity is in Christ, suffering gradually changes our earthly perspective into an eternal one. When it comes down to it, when I put it all down in one ball, in one circle, if I'm struggling right now, and I can't see the solution right now, then chances are I've been trying to do too many things on my own. In counseling, it is very rewarding when you can help someone. It really is. But it's very frustrating when you can't. That's why our approach, I say our, Justin and I, our approach to it is through Christian counseling. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the solution. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't certain medicines and other things that we, you know, it's not that if I'm struggling with something, it doesn't mean I have a weak faith or what have you. But there's sometimes those people that come to you and they're not ready to surrender their life all the way to Christ. And you try to tell them, until you do, there's still going to be struggles. There's still going to be emptiness. There's still going to be hurt. There's still going to be... But you can't make a person do it. It's the same with Christianity, right? Same level of frustration. You've counseled with people, you've talked with people, and they're struggling and they're struggling and they're struggling, and they can't seem to get out of their own way. But when you try to point them to the church, when you try to point them to Christ, I'm not ready to do that. Today, I can't promise you that if you submit your life to Christ, that all the problems are going to go away. I'd be a liar. But I can promise you that you're going to be surrounded by people, the greatest group of people I know, that's going to love you through it, that's going to hold you up, and it's going to help point you to the one who can get you through these struggles. In closing today, when our identity is rooted in Christ, shame can never overtake us. But we've got to realize who we are. We've got to realize that we represent Jesus Christ. An ambassador represents the King. We represent the King. Ephesians 2 again, 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. As we get ready to extend a song and allow that song to be an opportunity to make a decision for you to come to know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you today. to understand that what you'd be walking to isn't perfect. Jesus is perfect, but the church is not. But we are trying to be complete. We are trying to be who God wants us to be. Today, if you have a need in your life to get out of the mud because you feel stuck, maybe you've been trying to do it too much on your own. Maybe your identity has become you. Today, we have an opportunity to get that right. I encourage you. I urge you. Surrender your life to Him. But if there are those here today that you made the decision some time ago to be baptized, to be a part of the kingdom, and since then, you've strayed away. The kingdom's not as valuable as it once was. It's time to change it. It's time to let people know who we belong to. And we can do it starting right now. Together, we stand and sing.